It's good to see everyone. I want to remind everybody that on Christmas Eve, we will be having a special service here. We have a special service planned. You need to be here. We have a very unique candlelight service that we're going to be doing on Christmas Eve. It'll be at 5 p.m. right here. It'll give you time to come and also get to family gatherings. We're only going to be here for about 60 to 65 minutes for the service. And I think we could all kind of carve that piece out if we're going to be in town. I encourage you to bring your family and friends. It's always a blessing to those who come and visit with their families when we have our candle, especially the candlelight service. We're going to have a special solo during the candlelight service, and so we encourage you to be here for that. As I open our Christmas series, The Cast of Christmas, when you take a look at the Christmas story, depending on where you see the Christmas story beginning, and I see it back all the way back when Elizabeth is miraculously healed in her womb and she becomes pregnant. I see that story beginning there with John. And how far you take it to the end and how many magi you think showed up to see Jesus. There's anywhere between 9 and probably as many as 20 characters in the cast of Christmas. But in this series, we're going to look at 6 of those characters that become the cast of Christmas that we will be looking at. One of those will be Gabriel. He is one of only 2 angels that are spoken of in the Old or New Testament. And then there's the young teenage Mary who is pledged to Joseph to be married to him. But Joseph, we'll learn more about Joseph in part 2 in the cast of characters. So I'm going to ask you this morning to stand as we honor God and His Word in our opening 2 verses today. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We are in the Advent season, and I hope you've been checking out the emails that I've been sending out about the Advent. I'm sending it at different times during the day. For a reason, and I'm going to encourage you to follow what I'm putting out about the Advent as I've been going through a personal time of reevaluating in a deeper way the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And so some of what I have learned through the years I am putting out in emails during this Advent season, started on the 27th and will end on Christmas Eve. Since we're in that season, and in the studies, the Lord began to prick my heart about one particular statement that Mary made that is overlooked so often. And it'll be where we land today. And it'll be a place that the church is going to need to reawaken to in our walk with Christ. And so let's pray and let's begin to open our hearts to the Word of God today and the message that the Holy Spirit has for us. Father, we come to you this morning as we open the cast of Christmas, our Christmas series that will run all the way through Christmas Eve. Father, I thank you for the word that you have given me to release. And I thank you, Father, that this morning that we have ears to hear what the Spirit of the living God is speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you may not have noticed this in Scripture, but there is 2 different stories of the Christmas story. Now, scholars, I find it's humorous, are still debating and trying to reconcile the 2 stories. I believe it's very simple. Matthew tells it from Joseph's perspective, and Luke tells it from Mary's perspective. I could say it another way. Matthew does it in a way that a man might present it, and Luke presents it in a way that is important to things that a woman would consider. So, because we like to honor women here at North Elevation Church, we are going to be in Luke. Amen, women?
Amen.
Amen. We are going to be in Luke today as we begin to look at what it is that the Holy Spirit has for us. Now, we have in the opening of the story of Christmas that a young teenage girl named Mary. And Mary is probably somewhere between 16 and 18 years old. She's just a teenager. That wasn't uncommon for somebody 16 to get married. I mean, we live in a time and where people are waiting much longer. Rochelle and I didn't. We were teenagers when we got married. So it's not uncommon. And so she is engaged to a man named Joseph. And one of the words that's used is pledged. And the word pledged here meaning that she has formally agreed to marry Joseph, but they're not married yet. So let's imagine this morning that the wedding is 5 months off, and Mary is going to focus and be centered on the same things that women are centered on today if they're getting married. Nothing's changed. They're concerned about the guest list, the decorations, the food, the music before, during, and after the wedding. Yeah, food's a big thing now. I loved it when Tiffany got married. It was all about cake and punch. That's it. Now it's catering, you know, whatever these days. So Mary's thinking about the same things as anybody else. She's also thinking about out-of-town guests and family that are coming in. And I've done a lot of weddings in 30-some-odd years, and I know that that's one of the things that brides are concerned about. Where's everybody going to stay? You know, can they afford to come? And can they afford a room? We don't have any place to put them. So her heart and mind is centered and focused on the same things a bride would be today. And it's a very exciting time of her life. Not always. I've had a lot of brides that were very excited and a lot of brides that were like, man, whose idea was this? You know, because there's so much involved. But it is a very exciting time in Mary's life. And it's at this point that God breaks in to Mary's life. Not at the most opportune time, but at the most unopportune time, especially in their culture. God breaks in. Now, God is going to ask an unknown teenage girl to take part in something so shocking, so totally unbelievable, that it'll even shock the world. Something that will change her life forever. God is going to ask Mary to accept this one thing, accept my plan and disregard yours. God is asking Mary to accept his plan and to disregard her plans. Now, Mary will still marry Joseph, but it will not happen anywhere close to the way she thought it was going to happen. I love reading that story because that's how my walk's been. I feel like I understand Mary. Because God's always asking me to disregard my plans and accept his plans. So he's asking her to accept his plans and disregard her own. I'm going to drill down on that in just a little bit. But first, she has a decision she's got to make. A decision that will change her life forever, Joseph's life forever. It'll radically change the lives of both of their families forever. And it will change the world around them in ways they never thought of. And it's all about a decision, a statement that Mary makes. A decision and a statement that the church needs to desperately revisit and then get to doing it. You know, in the Christmas season, we love the season. Tiffany was posting, I heard all kinds of pictures yesterday. You'll find out how much she loves Christmas. There are people who just love this season for what it is. All the fun, the excitement, the color, the lights. It's fun for us too. I like Thanksgiving better because it's calmer. Christmas gets busy. But when I move into the Christmas season, I get a little more focused on we need to remember that Jesus was born to die for us. That's a sobering thought, isn't it, at Christmas time? It's recentering our focus on what matters in this time. Yes, being with family matters. Yes, giving gifts matters. But what matters more than anything else, do I have my focus on the reality that I'm celebrating a Christ child who came to die for me? And Mary, without her decision, without her statement, I wouldn't be here today declaring that through Jesus Christ and Him alone can you be totally set free. Because of Mary's decision. Sobering thought, isn't it? A teenage girl had a decision to make for the future of the world. Think about that for a moment. It's a statement that needs to be revisited. So let's begin our journey in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 28. And he came to her and said, "Greetings," this is the angel Gabriel, "greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Let me pause here for a moment. I had a funny thought when I was meditating on this a few days ago. You know, here he comes and he says, "Favored one." Mary's troubled with that thought. Would you be troubled? I would be. I wouldn't be going there, "Finally, you got it right." No, I'd probably be on my face going, "I hope I don't die." Mary's troubled by the saying, because if Mary's being honest, and if we'll all be honest with ourselves, have I earned that favor? That's what our thought. But the reality is, in Christ Jesus, yes. And so he tells her, "You're highly favored." And then he says to her, verse 30, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Why would he say that? Well, if it was me, I'd be wondering, am I about to check out? You know, I just came in the presence of an angel. What's about to happen to me? Don't be afraid. If you don't think you'd be in fear and trembling if an angel showed up in this manner, yes, you would. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, pause. Mary was not jumping up and down at this moment. Mary had a question. Luke chapter 1, verse 34. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?'" Now let's follow this and think carefully what's going to cause her to say what she does. "And the angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child will be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her whom was called barren." Now let's pause right there and pull the scriptures down for a moment. Now let's think about the goodness of our Father God. I love the way that he prepares Mary. He tells Mary, "Mary, you can believe this because I've already performed a miracle." Remember our memorial stones I talk about a lot? When God comes to you and says, "I'm going to do the incredible," we should be believing for the incredible because he's already done the incredible. Okay? And if he hasn't in my life, he's done it in someone else's life that I can remember. Now, he's going to set Mary up with this reality. "Mary, you can trust me. You can believe this because your cousin Elizabeth was barren and she's no longer barren. She's going to have a child." See, we just race right through that and don't think about the reality of what God is doing. He's giving Mary a foothold on standing in faith for the crazy that he's about to ask her to do. That's the way it would be thought. This is crazy. Now, Verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Elizabeth was barren. She's not barren now. If I'm going to say you're going to have a child, you're going to have a child. Nothing's impossible with God. But I love what Daniel taught us. We make things impossible when it's possible. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. You need to underline that about six times. We're going to come back to that. I am the servant of the Lord. Now, her next statement. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I am the servant of the Lord. I am the servant of the Lord. So let it be as you have spoken it. Now Mary says, I am the servant of the Lord, meaning that she understood that she was under someone else's total control. Mary's surrender involved obedience. Mary's obedience had to be connected to humility. And Mary humbly, without reservation, aligns herself with God's plan and not her own. We are experts at working our plans and grabbing at God when it don't happen the way I planned it. Come on. We're great at working our plans. We're experts at running our plans because we have plans. We have things we want. We want it a certain way. Mary had plans. But she aligns herself with God's plan. And I'm going to tell you what, the plan was not going to be easy. But the plan was going to bring about an unexpected blessing. Now, this may seem like I'm detaching from where I'm at. No, it's a great example, personal example of what I want to share with you. I had plans. I had desires. I had things I wanted to do. Matter of fact, when Rochelle and I sold our house, I had a plan. I had a desire. We drove around. We looked. We knew what we wanted to do. We're going to move into downtown Mansfield. We love Mansfield. We're going to move in Old Town. We're going to build us a house in downtown Mansfield. I mean, we're doing everything we possibly can to get to that point. I'm talking to Gary, the builder. I'm talking to my friend, the builder, Stoney Short, about it. We're just talking, we're scheming, we're planning, we're doing, and all of a sudden God says, breaks in and goes, I have another plan. I'm going to ask you to accept my plan and align yourself with my plan and disregard your plan. In accepting God's plan and aligning myself with Him and getting out of control of trying to make everything happen the way I wanted it to happen, God has given me a place where I have found great solitude on a level I've never had before, and it has deepened my relationship with Jesus. This unexpected plan of God to disregard my plan and align myself with His plan brought about an unexpected blessing. We need, when we read the Word, and you know I've said this before and I want to encourage it again, when you read the Word, ask God what else He's trying to tell you. Because we'll miss little statements like, I am a servant. You know what that means is? He's in control and I'm out of control. Amen? I'm totally submitted to Him. I'm going to be obedient to His hand, His guidance, His direction. Consider what was ahead of Mary in this decision. Can you imagine the rumors? Come on. The rumors, what the family would go through. the shame that would try to be put on her and Joseph. Think about Joseph. We're talking about a culture. This was huge, and Joseph did not discard her. Let's think about what they were going through to align themselves with God's plan for an unexpected blessing that they really didn't understand until later. An unexpected blessing came out of aligning themselves with God. It's been really funny since Rochelle and I have moved and followed God's plan. People have come to us and said, "Why did you quit your church?" All we did was move. "Well, but you didn't do what you were going to do." People have said, "Oh, I guess you're not pastoring anymore." No. In the last 5 months, the rumors are crazy. Just aligning myself with what God wanted to do. Amen? It's funny. I find it funny. I'm sorry. I just find it funny. But the whole thing is align yourself with God and His plan. And now I'm going to make a statement that we all need to hear. We are missing some of the most dynamic blessings of God because we are trying to work our plans and control what's going on. In missing some crazy, amazing blessings. I just told Rochelle yesterday, she didn't even know where I'm going today. And I made the comment to her. I said, "This room that we were in," I said, "has changed everything for me as a pastor." Do we serve a loving God? Do we serve a God that knows more about what you need than you do? Oh, yeah. We think we got it figured out. We think we know what we need, but do we really? You know, if we would just lay ourselves into His hands, it would be amazing what might start happening. What did Mary do? Come on, think about it. She gave up everything. Come on, gave up everything to align herself with God's plan. See, we don't talk enough about what Mary did. We just want to get to the story of the Magi. We want to get to the story of the star. How about let's begin with the act of faith of Mary. Amazing what Mary did. Penn Truth this morning. If we have any guess, it's things that I've learned. It's revelations that the Holy Spirit's given me through the years. Just stuff that I've penned. If you don't journal, journal. All these come from my journals. Penn Truth. Servanthood is one of the ways God expresses Himself in human lives. I'm going to say it again. Servanthood is one of the ways God expresses Himself in human lives. What is servanthood? Well, I'm going to define that even more here in just a moment. So stay with me. I want to back up. I know I passed one, Kathy. I want to now go back to the other one before it. Penn Truth, servanthood and obedience are part of the divine nature revealed in Jesus. Did you get that? Servanthood, obedience, is of the divine nature revealed in Jesus. And who are we supposed to walk after? Jesus. What did Mary set forth before Jesus came? The same thing. I don't know whether she did it, but she could have, may have went over and every now and then patted him on the head. Good son, good son. You're doing what mama does. Doing what mama does. Now let me define servanthood for you. It's very simple. It is submission. No, it's full submission and full obedience. That's what servanthood is. It's full submission, full obedience. You could say it this way, true obedience. to what God says. And let me state this truth. This type of submission, this type of obedience, this type of letting go is despised in our culture now. I'm going to say it again. It's despised in our culture. And now let me make another strong statement of truth. And way too much in the church. And that's got to change. John chapter 13 is, and I don't go there just a second, but every time I meditate on her statement, I am the servant of God. She speaks to the angel and says, let it be as you've said it. Every time I meditate on that statement, I am taken to a moment where I see Jesus wrapping a towel and tying it around his waist. So let's fast forward to the upper room. John chapter 13, verse 4, Jesus rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He was about to do what servants were supposed to do, not a master, teacher. He was not supposed to do that. This is for servants. Jesus is doing what he came to do, and that was to walk in servanthood and obedience to Father God. Guess what we're supposed to do? If I was going to draw a picture of a Christian, I used to do a series on this, and when I had the Bible school, I used to do a 13-week series on it, and one of the things I would have up there, I had somebody who drew, could draw, I had a deal up there that all Christians should have a towel wrapped around their waist to be ready to do what? Obey God. Come on, obey God. Shift your priorities in that moment from what you want to do, from what your plan is. Get locked into God's plan for that moment and go wash somebody's feet if that's what he tells you to do. Anybody with me? Mary says, I am a foot washer. And I'm going to do what you tell me to do, God. And I'm going to lay aside my plans. I'm going to get aligned with your plans. So be it. Here's the other thing. In that moment, she's just a teenager, but she's, as a teenager, she's really thinking probably more quickly about what is about to happen. How am I going to tell mom and dad? Come on. I'm pregnant. What? We're going to kill Joseph. It's not Joseph's fault. You'll have to kill God. I doubt you'll win. That one. And come on, think about it. She disregards all of that and says, I'm just going to follow God. I'm going to follow God. Now, chapter 5 in John, verse 19 is a very powerful statement that's made by Jesus. He says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. I want you to think that through for a moment. Jesus is doing to the disciples what he sees his Father what? Doing. What are we supposed to do? Do what Jesus did. Amen? Jesus just didn't do stuff. He did what he saw the Father. He said in one place, he heard the Father saying, he did what the Father was doing. Okay? Jesus came to be born to die for us and leave an example to us of how to be blessed. Wow. It's through servanthood to be blessed. And align ourselves with God's plan. In John chapter 13, let's go on, verse 12. And when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. And his example was, I do what the Father tells me to do. Amen? I align myself with his plans. You say, God doesn't care about my desires, my plans? No, he does. But he may shift them to give you a greater blessing. Well, I don't see how that's going to bring a greater blessing. Quit trying to figure it out. Just do it. Because if you spend too much time trying to figure it out, you won't do it. And then you'll miss it. I love Mary. Mary, without hesitation, said, so be it. Let's do it. Let's get this going. Now I got to go tell Joseph. R. Alan Woods said this, we have all been called to be foot washers. All of us. Penn Truth, more often than not, becoming a servant and obeying God will lead us on an unexpected journey and to an unexpected blessing. Amen. I am far, not over yet. You need to cut the music. We're not at the end yet. Okay. Note this fact. Jesus came to serve and obey the Father. Come on. He came to serve and obey the Father. I'm going to say it again. He came to serve and obey the Father. He served mankind, obeyed the Father, and went to the cross. Everybody with me? Did he not serve and obey the Father? What are we supposed to do? Same thing. Exact same thing. But guess who set the standard before Jesus was born? Mary. Mary. Mary did. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Didn't come to be served, but to serve. We love being served. But the blessing is in the serving. And especially if God shifts your direction and says, I need you to line over here instead of over here. I got something for you. Well, what is it, God? I got something for you. What is it, God? I got something for you. Well, since you won't tell me, I'm going to go over here. God did not tell me why all this was happening. And when it started happening for Rochelle and I, and we didn't get to do what we wanted to do, when we first started the process, we were both like, let's just be honest, we were a bit depressed. Because what we ran into was not good. But guess what? God said, follow me. Work this. Stay with me. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. Trust me. And watch what happens. And it's turned into an unexpected blessing. Are you with me? Okay. And here's the reason why it was a little depressing. Because it was way too much work. It wasn't just depression. It was, oh, God, there's so much work. And I'm old now. Gosh. I love the Holy Spirit. He goes, yeah, but you work out, so you're good. All right, so anyway. Yeah. If you study the Gospels and go through the Gospels well, you will notice that Jesus was in full submission, full obedience, and full servanthood. Okay? You can't get away from it. And it's a constant reminder of what the church is supposed to look like. Who's the church? We are. This is just a building. It's just a tool. It's a facility. We're the church. Now, let me ask a question. What if we were really living out life in full submission, full obedience, full servanthood, how much would the world change around us? I think pretty drastically. Let me ask this question. Are we really living for ourselves or for what God is instructing us to do? I'm going to say it again. Are we living for ourselves or are we living to follow out what God is instructing us to do? What's really cool about God, He will give you a lot of your desires of your heart. He'll give you a lot of different things. And what is interesting is one morning out there in where I am now to seek God's face, He told me, He said, "Didn't you ask me for something like this?" And I said, "Well, not exactly, you know." He said, "Think about it. What did you want?" Now, come on, I'm being honest with you. He said, "What do you want?" I know, you probably said, "God, don't talk that." He does to me. He has to get my attention. He said, "What did you want?" And I said, "I wanted a place of such solitude that I could draw so close to you." He goes, "Did I not give it?" Yeah. It just don't look what. It don't matter. Did He give it to me? Come on, did He give it to me? Here's the truth. He gave me more than I had asked for. See, that's the piece you need to know. He gave me more than I had asked for. And it wasn't where I thought it was going to be. Anybody with me? Because it's about obeying Him and the sacrifices. Now, here's the key about sacrifices. Obedience is greater than the sacrifice. It's obeying Him. Luke chapter 22, and my closing verses here before my final statement. Oh, you can start the music now. I love those people. Would you give them a hand? They do an awesome job back there, all of them. They do. I love those folks. They put up with me making changes and stuff. I tell you what. They put up with the rest of my team being late with stuff, you know. Luke 22, verse 25. And He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table?" Question mark. Then He says, "But I am among you as the one who" what? "Serves. And you should do likewise." What did Mary decide in that moment of what the angel said to her that was absolutely crazy? What was her decision? "I will serve my God however He needs me to serve Him. Because I am the servant of the Lord. So whatever He said, so be it. I don't care the trouble it brings, the confusion it brings. I don't care people don't understand. I don't care the rumors. I'm going to obey God." Isn't that what Jesus did? He obeyed Him. Went to the cross. Did you know that people, if you study and read all the other historical documents, you may not know this, but Caesar sent reporters out to try to chase Jesus down, and they're reporting as they're interviewing people and stuff. And a lot of them thought that Jesus, they were really uptight with Jesus because they thought Jesus was going to come with a sword physically. They were not expecting Him to let them put Him on a cross. Guess what Jesus was doing? Obeying God. Obeying God. My final statement this morning, Mary's yes is most profound to me personally because it changed her life and how it changed my life. Has Mary's decision changed your life? Come on. And when Mary said yes, she welcomed God into the content of her already given life. So it is with our lives. When we say yes to becoming an obedient servant of God, God invites us to do what is already within our capacity. To see our ordinary roles as sacred as we serve Him and others. Can we say yes in this Advent Christmas season? Can we say yes and get some things turned around in our lives so that those who are watching us, we become an example of how to get things turned around? Can we say yes and let life be sacred and walk in servanthood and obedience and watch the world around us change? Watch the world around us change. Here is the key moment in the morning. Will we submit our life plans to God? I'm not telling you He's going to change them all, but have you really submitted your life plans to Him? Have you really submitted your goals to God? Have you submitted your desires to God? We're good at telling God our desires. We're good at explaining our plan. Question is, have we given it to Him? Why would I want to do that? He might not do what I want. You've already messed up. Give it to Him. I've learned some things about the God I serve. A lot of that stuff He gives right back to you just exactly the way it was and said, I put my hand on this, go. And other things He says, I'm going to ask you to disregard your plans. I'm going to ask you to follow this plan. Because I have an unexpected blessing over here you never thought possible. In a way you never thought possible. So let's stand together as the Church of Jesus Christ this morning. In this Advent season, and let's recommit. What are we recommitting to, Pastor? Full obedience. Full submission. Being true servants of the Most High God. Gravitating back to the center of servanthood. Amen? And submitting our lives, that's really what it is, afresh to God. And do not put a timetable when you do it. And don't start pounding away, you haven't answered me yet. You just follow, as I like to say, the breadcrumbs. Journey might be long, journey might be short. Journey might seem crooked, but in the end, you will receive an unexpected blessing. So, Father, we come to You this morning as the church. First of all, God, I know what we need to do. We need to humble ourselves and submit to You and repent of our constant need to be in control. And we submit our lives anew, afresh, in servanthood. Full obedience and full submission, true to both. And today, as Jesus did, as Mary did, we lay our lives down and say, so be it how You desire it. In Jesus' name, amen.